that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
Gymwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Gymwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits. So, Justin, how's your week been?
Not bad. You know, my schedule's been pretty crazy, but it sort of died down this week. But it's going to pick up again. So I've had some time to get to the gym. Not a lot, but I've sort of been forcing myself to go, kind of what we talked about, that I have to do it as a, you know, almost like a get in and get out. Just make it part of your day. Don't make too big of a deal out of it. Just go in, you know, do some, you know, explosive bursts, get out of there. And I found that it's good. It helps me. I feel better after I go.
Take your word for it, because you've been MIA at our gym.
Well, yeah, I just haven't been able to make it to kickboxing, unfortunately. Yeah. But I'm trying to still remain fit.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I think we all go through that. I go through that often. Yeah. Probably, although I'm now in my probably best phase of consistent, like, solid exercise in a while. So it's been a few months where I've been pretty consistent. So I can't complain too much.
When you have a schedule that leans towards that, something very consistent. Like, mine is not consistent. That's
why your schedule, you mean the schedule itself isn't consistent?
Just my schedule in general. Okay. So when you're consistent, when you have a very, you know, when your schedule is the same month after month after month, which I know yours is not. I know that.
But it's relatively the same. If it changes by like 5%.
Sure.
It's not like week to week. Week to week is essentially the same with, you know, an hour here and there switched around. And you get up earlier. Like, you used to be, when we were younger, you would get up at like 12. And now I'll text you at like 8 in the morning and you actually get my text.
Well, that doesn't mean that I'm up at that time. I might get your text. But yeah, no, I get up a little early. I have been getting up earlier, even though I still work late. But
so you should be, what are you doing in the morning? You work.
I've been going to the gym sometimes in the morning as well.
Yeah, that's what.
Though I've never liked doing that. My body doesn't function.
Yeah,
well,
me
then,
too. I hate morning workouts. Although some people love it. Well, the people who do the morning workouts are the most consistent. I'm sure we've talked about it before, but it's if you can get a habit of working out first thing in the morning, you're going to be more consistent, just because there are fewer things to take you out of your routine. Things don't come up. Generally, don't come up at 8 in the morning, and the longer the day goes, the more likely you are to either talk yourself out of it, or to have something come up, or to feel sick, or whatever it is. So definitely the people that do the first, even my clients that are early mornings are the most consistent. Like, the guys that I have at, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning are the ones that, like, I've been seeing for years. And then as the day progresses, it gets more and more inconsistent. So evening clients, like, my evening schedule will be different. It will definitely be different. Like, in fact, actually, it won't be different, because I teach mostly classes in the evening, because evening personal training clients are just so inconsistent. It's not worth it. You know, not that it's not worth it, but
scheduled.
Well, I just, if I, you know, cause I do a mix of group fitness and one-on-one training. And I found that the one-on-one training, it just is so inconsistent in the evenings that I would take on classes, because classes are consistent. So I know that I have a certain amount of classes in the evening where, you know, my one-on-one clients, like, yeah, they'll be there for a few months, maybe, but they're not going to be as consistent and as long-term as my mornings.
Sure.
And especially where I am now in my own career, like, I want the stability over, like, you know, the hustling for that extra income. So I'll take a class that maybe doesn't pay as much, just to know that, like, I've got the class. I don't have to worry about, like, soliciting new clients when that person leaves. But anyway, I guess onto our discussion today. So, do you want to introduce the topic, or?
Yeah, so we're going to discuss pain and discomfort, and identifying what is a pain that can be dangerous, what is something that's uncomfortable, whether you should push through any discomfort or pain that you're having, and when it's time to take a rest.
Yeah, it's one of the more common things that I hear from clients, or from people in general. The other day, just like maybe 2 days ago, I was talking to somebody, and I knew that they something was wrong, because they were limping. And so I asked, hey, what's going on? And he said, I turned my ankle, and it kind of hurts. And I'm like, well, did you take any time off? No, I just got to push through it, you know? I mean, you just got to work through stuff like that. And, you know, that's a situation that's common, and it's dangerous, and it's much worse to push through certain things than it is to just take the time off. And sometimes it's ego, like, you don't want to be a quitter. Other times it's just not, just the misconception, you know, the mantra, like, no pain, no gain. So it's an important topic, because you want to be able to figure out the difference between, again, what's painful in a dangerous way, and what's pain or discomfort from exercise, and when do you push through, and when do you, yeah, when do you stop?
And you hear this statements like that, cliches, no pain, no gain. On the wrestling team, we used to say, "Oh, pain is just weakness leaving the body," yeah. Which is just. It's just so untrue. In fact, it could be quite the opposite.
There's a great episode of the Cracked podcast. This week it came out, and they were talking about like sayings like that. Like, I don't think they said "no pain, no gain" specifically, but they use all these old sayings that sound good, like that
sound
makes
good
sense.
And they're macho,
but well, it doesn't have to be macho. They just sound good, but how they're contradictory to either other sayings, or how if you really think about them, they don't make any sense. And it was this Monday's episode. Of Cracked, I forget the title, but if you look at this past week's episode, it's really, really good because it takes some of them and they just turn them on their heads and show you how silly they are. But yeah, pain is just weakness leaving the body is one of the worst.
There's an element of it that's truth that, yeah, if you're tired or you're exhausted and you push through it, you're going to get stronger. Or if you're exhausted, you get up a couple extra reps, you're going to get stronger. I guess in terms of that, it might be true, but in so many instances, if you're injured and you keep pushing, all that's going to happen to your body is it's going to get worse and you're going to get weaker because you're going to be injured and you're not going to be able to train.
Yeah, well, the first part is for anybody is to identify the difference, as you mentioned, between pain and I guess it's different because we're going to refer to pain in both contexts, I guess, in both. So I guess I'm going to try to... For good pain, I'm going to call it discomfort, just for kind of clarity.
Meaning
and
like
for
fatigue,
bad pain, we'll talk about
fatigue.
Yeah. So,
you're obviously tired, or maybe you've done a bunch of reps and your muscles are starting to give. You're getting the lactic acid.
Well, yeah.
No.
So anyway,
I know. And as opposed to if you might have an injury or something that can be very dangerous for you to continue on.
Yes.
Okay.
As I was going to say, basically that. I'm going to say pain. Pain can be good or bad depending on the exercise movement, but we're going to use discomfort to talk about the quote good pain, and we'll use pain to talk about the quote bad pain. So, first thing is to identify what's pain and what's discomfort, and which you kind of touched on, but I'll try to get a little more specific. So, what I guess we'll repeat yourself or partially, but now with I guess so, what I want in mind. What do you think is discomfort?
So I always think of discomfort as, in this setting at least, as more fatigue-based. You're getting tired or your muscles have worked a lot. Or maybe you had a big workout and you're a little sore. Something like that. Mostly due to being tired and having a good workout. That's what I would think of as discomfort, where a lot of people would say, "Oh, I'm exhausted. Oh, I've my thighs are on fire." Like something like that, a burn,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, basically. So soreness, I think there'll be two places we'll find soreness. One is a kind of acute. It's a muscle soreness. So if you feel that burning sensation when you're doing an exercise, you do the last couple of reps and you feel burning. That's one example of the discomfort that we're talking about. Another example might be just the soreness after you work out. So within a day or two, you're usually but often you're going to be sore, especially if you do something that's new or if you do a particularly intense session or you focus on one muscle. So those are examples of kind of discomfort. Even though the soreness from a hard session can be fairly painful, usually that's more of a discomfort and a pain from exercise. The other example that you touched on also is if you're doing higher intensity work that maybe is more difficult cardiovascularly, the breathing may be a little bit more difficult. Yeah. You shouldn't feel like you're going to pass out. You shouldn't feel like you're having labored breathing, but breathing might be difficult. So that kind of discomfort where you're working hard and you have a hard time, you're working to keep your breath and you're working to keep your intensity up. Those are examples of discomfort that within the context of the exercise are natural and important and often will be necessary. It's not always necessary, but that's going to happen, and that's the kind of pain that you potentially can fight through. If the muscles are burning and you're trying to get that last rep or two, you can push through that, assuming it's intense enough, or it's low enough of intensity that you can actually manage. If it's so bad that you can't do anything, there are good and bad things about kind of training to failure. Same thing if you're like doing cardio. If you're running to the point where your breathing gets more and more labored, and you can barely take a breath in, you might need to stop. But there is a limit there's a limit, and you got to kind of find where that limit is. Yeah. But those are examples of, you know, where discomfort you can still work through.
Yep.
And then pain. So that, you know, one thing is also think of location. Like, if you feel anything in a joint, that's, you know, yep, in the knee joint, in the ankle joint, down the spine, in the elbow, in the wrist, if you feel anything there, that's a, that right off the bat is something might be wrong. So you want to be aware of what's going on. If you feel anything within a joint, usually bad pain can be pretty sharp.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, it's a sharper pain, I mean, versus like the pain, soreness that you might, yep, get from, you know, exercise. But another kind of bad pain, which is more like soreness, is cramping. So if you're exercising and you're cramping, that's a sign of something bad. It could be something, it could be a sign of maybe dehydration. It could be a sign of a muscle being overused. It could be a sign of an injury. So if you're cramping, that's, even though it's more like the soreness, that's not a good thing. And you probably need to stop exercising and either, you know, give it some rest or see somebody, see a professional about what's going
especially
on.
Especially if it keeps happening.
Yep. You know, a couple other things that this, you may not consider it pain, but it's a sign to stop, is dizziness, nausea. You know, those are all risks. And it's, and the thing with pain is usually, you know, we think of pain as a sign of something being wrong. So if you feel that, that means something's wrong. That means you, yeah, shouldn't,
it's our body
persist
sending those signals.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing, is that you really want to make sure that you're aware of what kind of pain you're feeling, and then you decide to push through. And there's still a risk reward, you know, with any of it. So, you know, while I'm not going to tell the average client to work through a knee injury, at the end of the day, if you're an athlete and you've got a very important game coming up, you're going to decide, is it worth the risk? Is playing this game going to be worth the risk that,
when you're,
you know,
getting
to my
paid,
knee?
The whole game changes when you're getting paid millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Too, and you know that you'll be set for life.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
You might push your body, and yeah, you know you'll have, you're going to have knee surgery in the future, but you can afford it, and you're going to be very, very wealthy.
Yeah.
So I have an interesting question for you. And I know we talked about no pain, no gain, that statement, way back in our misconceptions episode.
Yeah.
Where do you think that whole concept came from? No pain, no gain, or you got to fight through it. Like, culturally, have you been hearing that your whole life?
We've been hearing it all. I would think.
Where
it
do you think that stems from?
I'm going to think it comes, I would think it probably comes from like a military source, or maybe sports, because those are the two areas where you'd think like you're going to have to fight through not just discomfort, but pain. So I would think that might be it. You know, it's got to be something where that's physically demanding, that requires you to push past what your comfort zone.
I'm trying to think. Have you ever seen the movie Pumping Iron, which was,
yeah,
one of the most important bodybuilding movies of all time? It basically put bodybuilding on the, yeah, map. For those who haven't seen it, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie that came out in the early 70s, where he basically talks about
how
his training.
No,
his life,
I want to know.
Like,
I wonder.
Does
how
he mention anything like that in there? No pain.
I'm sure, but so, I mean, we haven't watched one. But like, how culturally relevant was it at the time? Because like, we liked it because we were a kid, like when we were young, it was cool. It was a cool thing. Everyone watched Pumping Iron because it was this crazy thing that starred Schwarzenegger from the 70s. But like, I wonder how culturally relevant it was.
Well, think about it. He revolutionized
bodybuilding. He revolutionized it. I'm saying, did the movie revolutionize
I mean, not as a filmmaking. It's more just him.
Yeah, him. Okay,
revolutionized.
Yeah.
And the movie was showing
about
him.
Yeah.
Right. Think about, this is how significant it was, that bodybuilding, which was such a different thing at the time, just the fact that they would make a movie about bodybuilding shows how big he was and how influential he was. So I'm just wondering if something like that might, some, a movie like that, where if he said something like, oh, no pain, no gain, where it might have started something like that.
No.
Or, but you have to think about, where does it start spreading,
yeah,
right? That might been a movie you heard something like
I'm
that.
I'm sure that's been around for a long time. I'm sure we could go online right now and look up the source. I guess if anyone's listening, if you want to find out the history of no pain, no gain.
But but probably it's taken out of context, because if he was talking about, he meant in terms of like, you're tired, you know, your muscles are fatigued, you got to push those extra reps. I doubt he meant, oh, if you have a knee injury, you have to continue, you know, squatting and then destroy your whole career, your whole, you know, fitness situation.
You're assigning meaning to a hypothetical situation where Schwarzenegger says in Pumping Iron, no pain, no gain?
Well, I don't remember. I pretty much. I do remember him talking about stuff like that, where you have to you push yourself. But I don't think.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But, I'm messing with you. But no,
do
I
you think he would have meant.
I honestly
even then,
no.
You
I
have to.
I don't know.
Push through, fight
I mean,
an injury.
Just
like
in general, I think
or did maybe
the
Peter
general
know
idea.
As much about
just,
injuries back
no,
then.
I think people just fought through it. It was, you know, it's a tough. It's just because it can be cultural. Like a lot of cultures, like there are people that are just. They just tough it out, like that whole idea too. It's like people just they just do things even at the expense of their future health, just because you just got to be tough. You just do it. So we it's only
and if you think about it, you know, maybe in the 70s, they didn't have as they didn't know as much about injuries, and so a sport like football and baseball, other sports too, but athletes fought through their injuries.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
no,
we
so just went through.
So
that's
people
why
just
the old
like tough it out,
tough.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean it was good.
Yeah, it does exactly. So I think we're only now becoming a little bit more aware of like the long term effects of anything. You even think about head trauma from anything, from even football. Like no one cared. You know, people knew about head trauma from boxing for a long time, but they didn't really consider it for football. The long term effects of any sport. Every sport has health effects. You know, negative health effects. So they're. You know, we're only now really getting a lot of that science. So I think that the whole no pain, no gain thing, you can finally start to attack it. But for a long time, and it has its place. If you're training hard, if you have a very specific goal, then you do need to fight through discomfort and fight through adversity. It's just identifying what's discomfort and what's pain. So, you know, that's the key.
So now here's a sort of the interesting question. With this whole discussion about if you're injured, you don't want to risk exacerbating it. You don't want to fight through it. And we're sort of putting no pain, no gain, or pain is weakness leaving the body, and we're turning it on its head. Do you think that might be misconstrued into people now not working out as hard, using that as an excuse? Oh, I have a little pain. I got to stop working out. Oh,
well,
I don't want
to that's
push.
The thing. That's why we try to make a clear distinction between what's pain and what's discomfort. So, yeah, if you have a persistent pain that you know is there when you're not exercising and it doesn't go away, or if you have a sharp pain in a joint, or if you're dizzy, or if you're cramping, those are all bad things. But if it's just the exertion, if it's just hard, if the muscles are sore, if your cardio, you know, is being challenged, those aren't difficult. So yeah, sure, people can go the other way. That's a good interesting question.
You know,
but
you know, I feel that people, especially in this day and age, and maybe has to do with sort of the whole cultural concept of it, I think people try to avoid discomfort at all costs, not just any type of discomfort, whether it be physical discomfort, whether it be having to work really hard at something. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, and I know it certainly does not go for everything. I know a lot of hard workers and people that, you know, really put their nose to the grindstone, but what I've seen is people try to avoid discomfort in general, right? In their life, they would rather lie or avoid a social situation rather than confronting it head on, even if that's the right thing to do. You know, they would rather eat something that was comfortable and made them feel good rather than having to put in work to prepare something healthier that might not be as gratifying. So that's just how I feel. I always feel that people try to avoid discomfort. And so something like this that we're talking about, I feel, could easily be misconstrued to not working out as hard.
There's some truth to what you're saying. I don't know how much that exists. It certainly does exist. I don't know if it's worse than it was or if it's better than it was, but we see in the fitness industry that a lot of what's being sold is geared
towards
avoiding discomfort. So that's absolutely a part of it.
In fact, that's most
now,
of what the fitness.
What you have to understand when it comes to exercise and fitness is if you want to make significant progress, there is going to be a level of discomfort that is necessary. There's just no way around it. If you just want to follow the general guidelines for being healthy, you don't really need that much discomfort. It's a matter of just getting up, getting to the gym, you know, and putting the time in and being consistent. So there is something to be said for it. You don't really ever need to be in severe discomfort or pain to meet the just general standards
just going
for exercise.
To the gym is not comfortable for people to having to go work out and having to spend time doing it when they could be watching TV or having a beer or something like that. So just the act of going to the gym.
Yeah, but I mean, then we can do the same with work. I'm just saying, when we're talking about is dealing with actual pain or discomfort, physical pain, yeah, there's always mental, but that just comes with everything. Like, you know, so let's put that aside for now. If we're just talking about the physical pain or physical discomfort, you don't ever need to get to that high of a level if you just want to meet the general guidelines.
Of being healthy, yeah.
But if you have goals, if you have very specific goals, if you want to lose weight, if you want to build muscle, or if you want to compete in a sport or participate in something or learn a new skill, there is going to be a certain degree of discomfort that is necessary. So that, you know, that part is it's just inherent in it. But, you know, again, it's not absolutely necessary, but I understand your point about, especially in the fitness industry, things being geared towards what's the easiest route.
What's the easy, yeah.
You know, and that you see that with exercise a lot. I mean,
quickest,
it's hard.
Easiest, least amount of pain, yeah. Fastest results. And as we know, as we've seen it time and time again, the you know, the quick, easy, fast result way, well, you might actually see something quickly, but it rarely lasts.
Yeah. And if we figure out the real way to do that, we'd be rich people if you could figure out a quick, easy, lasting solution. All right, well, then, you know, one other thing I wanted to talk about, which we kind of skipped over, is going back to the fighting through exercise. There are a couple of major issues that I want to iron home for people. If you do have an injury and you decide I'm going to fight through it, whether it's ego or you're running a marathon and you got to just fight through, you want to do that marathon or whatever it is, you know, things to keep in mind are that, you know, fighting through can exacerbate an injury, obviously. If you have a knee injury and it's hurting and you keep running on it, probably going to make that injury worse. But beyond that, it can lead to other injuries, like kind of compensation injuries, because your body naturally is going to compensate for that injury and that pain by changing its alignment in order to minimize the pain. So you put yourself naturally in some kind of misalignment to deal with that pain, but then you end up putting unnecessary stress on other joints or on other muscles. So that can potentially lead to other injuries. I've seen this happen often, where I'll have somebody that's got usually it's a lower body injury, because you can't mask avoid a lower body injury. If you have an ankle injury or a foot injury or a knee injury, you're walking all day long. So unless you stop walking, you're going to be working that area no matter what. And so everybody, or most people, in order to deal with that, they're going to compensate in some way by changing their alignment. So what happens is, even if you go to physical therapy, the knee gets better, at some point, the other side, other knee's hurting now, or my hip's hurting, or my ankle's hurting. And that's usually because it's some kind of a compensation pattern that occurs to make up, you know, for that injury, or to,
you see it with,
or to cover for that injury
all the time. They're like, oh, he had a lower back injury. Oh, but now his shoulder's hurting.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought he just had a lower back. No, but now it's like you always see these other injuries popping up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's exactly that.
So that, you know,
it's compensation.
So that's why, yeah, that's why you don't want to.
More of a reason why to rest.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to push yourself if you have an injury.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, that's why, again, it's a risk reward, but you want to make sure that reward is really worth, you know, whatever the risk is that you're taking.
So, what I do, and there were some times where I've had a couple injuries, whether it be a leg injury. I once had an annoying shoulder injury, and I really wanted. I remember it was during a time where I was really enjoying lifting weights, and I probably did some things that I shouldn't have. Once I had a wrist injury where I was having trouble grabbing stuff, which really also interrupted my my weightlifting. But what I would do is I would try to work out around that. When I had a sort of that hand injury, a wrist injury, I used straps to lift weights so that I wouldn't put any pressure on my wrist or on my hand. When I had a leg injury but I still wanted to get cardio, I used the rowing machine that didn't put any stress on on the part of my leg that was hurting. So that's always the way I've done it. I've worked out in a way that really didn't put any pressure or any stress, and I wouldn't chance it. Right, I would just give myself the time to heal, but I would still work out, and maybe I wasn't able to push myself as hard as I wanted to, or maybe I wasn't able to do some of the exercises I wanted to. But the way I always thought about it is, if sort of fitness is a race with yourself, keep pace. So I made sure to keep pace, right? maybe I was like, all right, I can't lift because I have this arm injury. I'll focus on cardio. Or same thing, my leg's hurting me, now I'll do a little more lifting or I'll do a different type of exercise. So that's always what I've done. Have you had a similar sort of experience with that?
Yeah, so I mean, there are a couple, few things I had to address with what you said. So, and this is why we have a professional, I guess, and the enthusiast. So one thing you don't want to do if you have a leg injury is do the rowing machine. It's actually a bad idea because the rowing machine is mostly legs. The arms are only like an extension of legs. So it's like throwing a punch or a kick. Like
maybe I didn't.
Everything
actually,
is in the legs.
Right.
So no, just want to get the so with
the
any
hand bike or something.
Yeah, like you want to, you'd want to.
It was something like that.
Yeah, so,
I remember.
But it's you know, but that's a good thing you brought it up because that's a common misconception that oh, the rowing machine, I'll just do that. That's more upper body, but it really isn't. Like rowing machines do more lower body. It's just like I said, a punch. If you're throwing a punch, it's more lower body.
Hips,
it's your hips and rotation, and the arm it just becomes like an extension of the body. So it's the same kind of same philosophy or idea behind the rowing machine. But anyway, yeah, when you have an injury, you bring up a good question in what you were talking about is what do you do when you have an injury? You don't want to stop working out. So there are a couple of things to consider. You have to think, what's injured or where's the pain? Where's the pain? If the pain is in your knee, then you're probably going to want to do things initially to avoid that joint or that area. So you focus maybe on upper body, and if you want to get cardio, you use the kind of the arm bicycle, or you just focus on your resistance training upper body. You could do things that isolate just the hips, or do things that isolate just the calves if you wanted to try to get a little bit of lower body work, or you could do things maybe in a range of motion that doesn't cause you pain. But initially you want to kind of just rest that area maybe a few days, a week, to see what's wrong. If the pain persists, then you got to see somebody. Like nothing I can say, there's probably something wrong, and you'd want to see a professional that can then tell you, okay, here's what's wrong, and here's what you need to do about it. And then you find out from the professional, can I do exercises that involve that joint, given that there's pain? Will that help or will it not? For example, if you have, let's say you're feeling lower back pain. There are a lot of different potential causes for back pain. Some you're going to be advised not to do anything involving the lower back, or just like walking, or your just natural daily motions will be what's going to help the back. But then there are going to be other situations where they're actually going to tell you to strengthen the muscles in the lower back or strengthen some of the muscles in the abdominal wall. So depending on what the injury is and where the pain comes from or what source of the pain, you may be advised to do exercises that involve that joint or that muscle, or you may be advised to not do it. So that's something where you really want to see a professional. So that's why when there is pain and when that pain persists, it's really important that you find out what's wrong and again, get it diagnosed and you get on a treatment plan. And it's important because, again, if you feel the pain, you just keep working through it, it's only going to get worse. And so, it's rare that I see somebody that has a persistent pain that doesn't...
It just gets better.
Just get better. So I think that's the thing. But initially, again, if you feel like if it's just a day where you're running and you start feeling pain, stop it. Give it a week and see how it feels. I actually had somebody who had an injury recently. It was a calf strain, and that's exactly what happened. It's like she hurt her calf, so she stopped. Recommended she stopped. We worked out for a week. It was like, okay, we're gonna avoid lower body stuff. She hates going to the doctor, so it's like, all right, you want to go to the doctor? We'll just give it a week, see how it feels, and then we'll go. And then after a week, it went away, and we went back to slowly reincorporated exercises involving the lower body, involving the calves, and it's fine. So whatever it was, I don't think it was serious. Probably you can never be sure unless you go to a professional, but that's one thing you can do. But otherwise, if it persists, you want to get it checked out because there's so many things that can be wrong with the body that only a professional can diagnose it. And if you have a trainer that is not a professional and they're telling you what's wrong or giving you a treatment plan, then they're not doing their job. And even if they're very knowledgeable, once they cross that line into medicine,
the medical world,
they're not doing their job and they're going way beyond their scope and potentially a liability problem.
And with the... And with the sort of pain or the persistent pain that you're talking about, one example that people have, especially in something maybe like the shoulder, something like that, is pain that comes and goes and comes and goes. Now, that can be tricky because you could very easily confuse that with soreness. Maybe I just worked out hard. I did some lifts. Now my shoulder's hurting, and it hurt for a couple days. But why is it hurting for more than it should? and then it goes away for 3 months. Then it comes back, and you're like, oh, maybe it's just a soreness again. It goes away, and it comes back. That's very important to get checked out.
Yeah.
A friend of mine recently had his shoulder checked out, and it turned out that he had a muscle tear in it. Doesn't know how it happened. It could have been something from playing sports, maybe lifting weights, and it just got exacerbated over time. And now, if he wants to ever do certain types of exercise like heavy lifting or anything like that, he's going to have surgery to have it repaired. Yeah. It's the sort of thing, it will not heal itself. Now, he can do physical therapy in order to strengthen parts around it, and he doesn't have to. He could live a fine lifestyle without having to have it surgically repaired, but something like that. So if you feel something and it kind of goes away and comes back, really get it checked out. So the fact that it's returning isn't just because, or may not just be because you had a hard workout and now this pain is back. It, like stuff like muscle tears are tricky. They're sometimes tough to diagnose, and you need a professional to do it. So if it's coming and going, make sure to check it out.
Yeah, and that's very sound advice. And again, that's something that's tricky because, yeah, you don't, it's like if it comes and goes, as soon as it goes, you're like, okay, good, I'm okay. And then it comes back and it's, you know, I'm okay. And
yeah, you had a shoulder injury, right?
Yeah, but I dislocated it. And I did the wrong thing. Like, I dislocated it playing baseball, did not go to the doctor. I popped it back in, kept playing. And I've just dealt with it ever since. So, I'm like...
Is that something that you would ever need to have surgery on?
Probably, if I wanted it to stop dislocating. But it's not, you know, for me, it's like I weigh the risk reward. I have full most range of motion, full strength. I feel it a little bit with the weather. If I have a bad day where I throw like a punch and it'll pop out a little bit. But it's actually been better ever since I started boxing in Muay Thai. Like, for whatever reason, that's helped more than when I was lifting weights, where I would dislocate it every few weeks, it seemed. But you know, it's one of those things. I should probably get it looked at.
Maybe you will.
But I don't need to right now. All right.
So what do you guys think? Have you been experiencing persistent pain in a certain region? Get it checked out. Have you had something like that happen where you worked through an injury and you wound up making it worse? Something like that. Let us know, because this stuff is, you know, really good information. And whenever you can help someone else by telling your story, maybe to prevent an injury from someone else, that's always a really good thing to do.
Yep. Well, that's it. So as usual... Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you, have you watched Game of Thrones yet?
I have not.
You have not.
I'm saving up until about five or six. Where are the five?
Episode five.
Five.
So have you been spoiled? Have you been spoiled yet about what's gone on?
No.
You haven't seen anything on social media? Wow.
I don't go on social media very much.
All right. Well, I'm impressed because it's good.
I mean, every time I see it,
You're missing out.
I won't be missing out, but I guess I'm going to see it, though.
All right. Well, you should.
I'm going to enjoy it as a binge. All right.
Yeah. See, we could talk about this, but... can't watch it. All right. Well, that's it. As usual, all of our stuff is on thegymwits.com. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music. We're on everything, including and on the website. So, and we have an app coming up soon. I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks that the app should be ready. With some cool stuff there, too. So, that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are The Gymwits.